Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's not John and Lance, it's Lance and Dell. And before we go any further, something needs to be addressed. And it really involves you guys, a lot of you listeners out there. Some of you who, you know, are part of the show. You may call in. You may tweet at Lance Erline, at DellV2. I have not checked Twitter. I need to do that. It's come to our attention that many of you seem to be under the false pretense that John is a, quote-unquote, man of the people.
Yeah,
you see him, hear him say, whatever, and you hear him say,
he talks, you know, about drinking.
Coors Light, I'm just sitting there. I'm doing
playing poker.
The golf thing should be your first sign that John's an elitist.
The fact that he can go.
Not that he plays golf. The fact that he does it every single day for free.
Yes.
Should be the sign of something. But it has come to our attention that some of you believe that he is some great man of the people. That he has created what I consider to be one of the longest cons of long cons of all time. There are short cons and there are long cons.
I've been calling this out since about 2013, and people are like, oh, Dell's just angry. Dell doesn't know. Dell's got a bet. Stop it. He's been conning you people for years because you get distracted by a nickel. Oh, look, bright, shiny thing. John's over here doing the, what's that three card? What's three card? He's just moving stuff around. You guys are like, oh, okay, John's mad people. He's never been.
He is the David Blaine of radio hosts. He's got you guys suckered in. He's not actually shoving a needle through his arm. Well, actually, David Blaine does that stuff in real life because he just makes himself go through
pain. He's insane.
You people have been fooled by the long con. Have you seen? He is the Coors Light swindler. That's what he is. He has you fooled into giving him his cred for being a man of the people. In the meantime, he's flying out of the country, having three Michelin star dinners.
In Prague,
how many Czechoslovakia people, with $500 golden goose tennis shoes on.
Czechoslovakia is not a thing anymore.
Well, that's right.
Czech Republic is all it is.
Is Prague that offensive to say Czechoslovakia?
I don't know, but I'm just trying to help you. It's Czech Republic.
Yeah, whatever. It's same for me.
Did he have a Coors Light on that table, or was it wine he was drinking?
It was wine. He had wine pairings.
That's what I thought.
When he gets away from Houston, the man of the people is drinking wine at Michelin star tastings.
Do you know how much his shoes cost?
Sending me pictures of his food, and he's got golden goose, whatever that is, shoes. I just thought they were raggedy-ass tennis shoes. Then I found out they're made to look raggedy-ass. They don't have any boost in them. How could you have nice shoes if you don't have a boost in the cushion? And it's cost like $500. I'm sorry. What now? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't have these. These have zip-ups. This man of the people, charade. Some people say charade, but I say charade. Has fooled you long enough.
I wish people would have, you know, jumped on board years ago like I told them. The man plays golf at locations where they don't even like telling people that you're there. That's how exclusive the golf is. And you people still think he's a guy that's just like you? He has time to go to poker in the middle of the day. Do you do that? Or are you on your way to work driving? I don't know. We have delivery drivers here. We have people working warehouses. Do you have time to head off to a poker house 10 a.m.?
What's your favorite moment that you spent on a private jet leaving the city during a hurricane?
The man got on a private jet and flew to Dallas. Did you guys do that during a hurricane?
I didn't. I was in a 101-degree car driving to Austin. It took me 14 hours to get there.
I just hope
in contraflow traffic, no less.
I'm glad I now have someone riding as hard as I do against this this facade that he's put out there. That he's just like everyone else.
You people. He's a charlatan. That's right.
That's it.
That's it. He's a charlatan. He's a snake oil salesman. He's a Coors Light swindler, just like the Tinder swindler. He's got you fooled with his golden goose shoes. And it is the ugliest flex. You're right, Nikki. He's got you all fooled. When's the last time any of you sat courtside at every sporting event in the city of Houston or from a suite?
The man tells a story about Lamar Odom hitting on his wife and him getting upset. Would Lamar Odom be able to see your wife from the seats you're in?
No. Lamar's wife can't even see if your wife is worth a...
Yeah. He can't even see if she's worth the time of day.
He couldn't even call her ugly.
Yeah.
If that, I mean, you don't want him to call your wife ugly.
No, but he wouldn't be able to tell. He wouldn't be able to tell.
If she's good or not. She's like, I don't know. From afar,
you are so far away that Lamar Odom can't tell if your wife's attractive or not. John had to nearly fight him because Lamar was so into his wife. Cut it out. He's not like you.
You got to be close to the field. You got to be close to the court. That's what I'm talking about. You people have believed this long con that he is running. And me and Del were like, why is he going? What is he doing in Prague? What is he doing there? Probably bringing back some kind of elite crystal.
The fact that multiple people, almost on a monthly occurrence, can spot out John at Astros or Rocks. Go, I saw John on TV. That wasn't your tell? That he's not like you?
Hey, look at John. He's in the World Series behind home plate. Let me tell you something. The only thing that you have in common with John is just buckled down, slosh face, drunk.
Yeah.
Okay?
In that, you guys are the same.
He's like you. But as soon as he leaves town, what happens? Here comes the wine pairings. Here comes the wine pairings. And this is what I imagine. Oh, Wendy, it's so good to be on this private jet flying to Prague. It's been so difficult for me to continue to keep up this charade.
Some of you guys,
I'm a man of the people.
Some of you guys celebrate
with my golden goose.
You know what you guys celebrate? Some of you guys celebrate when you get like an extra wing from Buffalo Wild Wings. They make a mistake.
Oh, look who accidentally put a curly fry in a fry bag.
And you guys send it to your friends like you're winning today. That's not what John does.
Uh-oh.
He sends pictures of himself from Prague, from exclusive golf courses, and goes
in Cabo.
I know what you guys are doing, but this is what I'm doing.
He goes, you're probably watching the stupid Rockets. Or you're probably watching the Texans. Here's my view in Cabo. And it's like, if people would only buy into, believe what people tell you they are.
Yeah, he tells you this all the time.
He tells you, I am elite and you are a sucker.
He takes days off of work.
Me and Del are man of the people.
I'm not Tyler. No, I'm a different type of man of people. I don't want to hang out with any of you.
I'm a man of the people.
But I'm just like you. I grind just like you. No, I don't really do that either. But the thought that John, a guy who will just take 2 days off of a work week to go, hey, John, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to play in this turn. I'm going to play golf here. Did you tell anybody? Yeah, a couple days ago.
You're a man of the existentialist.
He gives people like 2 days notice. Oh, sorry, I can't do the show. I'm going to go play golf. What do you mean you're going to go play golf? You mean after work? I can only get on at 9 a.m., so I got to go. That has happened. And you people think he's like you.
100% has happened.
Stop it.
He's not like you. You need to stop. If you want to worship somebody, me and Del.
No,
Tyler,
don't worship me.
Yeah. Well, you're a man of not the people, but existentialists find you to be
sure
quite charming.
I mean, John is not
Nihilist.
A hero. John is not a hero. If you guys watch The Boys.
He's not the hero.
You're those people who think those superheroes are good people.
That's exactly. what's his name?
Is he Homelander? You think
he is? John is Homelander, only with a beard and a Coors Light in his hands.
Yeah.
He is Homelander.
Coors Light is like breast milk to him.
Yes, it is. Boy, this is a very specific reference.
Yeah, you have to see that show.
We hope you watch on Hulu.
Yeah, or the references go. Oh, it's Amazon, by the way. Or they go right over your head. I'm just telling you. You're like
another one coming out. It should be soon, right?
Maybe. I don't know, really. But you are the people who believe superheroes are all good, and then you see the behind the scenes of The Boys and go, oh, these guys are all a-holes. That's what John is. Stop it. Realize who you're dealing with. That's all.
This whole segment just needed to clear some things up.
Because when we just kind of thought about him being in Prague, we thought to ourselves, why is he in Prague? Why is he in the Czech Republic during the middle of February?
What is he doing? And this is what we're talking about. And it just dawned on me, he's running the longest con in history.
It's been going on for years, and people buy into it.
For years. Yes, he'll play. Well, he's not. Somebody just sent me a picture. He's not a bad guy. Here's a picture of him with my kid
at a charity golf event. That's part of the con.
Oh, you mean he had free golf and he took a picture of the kid? Great. Guess what he did afterwards? knockdown sloppy drunk.
Didn't see it.
Man of the people.
What if it was a charity bowling event? You think he would have shown up?
No.
No.
No, he wouldn't have. Plus, that picture's from like...
this years ago.
Like 18 maybe years ago.
20 years
your
ago.
Your kid's not getting a picture anymore.
No.
He'll charge you.
Not if you're not paying for it.
John's already selling his own NFTs. 914. Now that we got that out of the way, now that the real truth is on the table for us...
I actually feel a lot better now.
I do, too. It feels like we... It's just a huge... Like, you just admitted something, you know, and you cleared the air. I feel like we cleared the air about John. Now it's up to you people to respond in kind.
Stop being the sycophants that you are and realize he's not like you at all.
Yep. You're welcome. 914. When we come back, want to get to the Combine. Well, first of all, Keith's got a question about the Texans. And the Combine, I'm headed there in a week where I'm grinding and working. I'm not going to play at a charity golf event.
Are you
going to
do the show from there?
Goose shoes. Yeah. I am working from the Combine. However, there may be as many as half of the Combine participants who are no longer going. We will explain that when we come back. It's 9:15 here on the bench.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Scoreboard update. Lance drives two Chevy Traverses, has a custom patio, and an income from two jobs. Dell is on a national radio show. Meanwhile, Granato's waiting for a pickup and only gets 3 hours of work per day, not even part-time. MOTP, man of the people. Number one, I paid every dollar for my patio. That's a true story. I brought him on because I liked his work, Stephen Shells, after paying for all of that. No discounts.
Who tweeted
that?
And I
drive one Traverse DH Green or something like that. I mean, clearly it's a joke tweet, but like, the guy sitting at courtside seats and from his suite and flying private on a jet is like, that's right. I just got back from the Cabo Cup where me and other guys who look a lot like me go out and play golf.
Days off of work to just go play some golf with his buddies in Mexico.
Now, he did have to do that show or those shows from like an IT closet where it was kind of cold.
Quit letting him
off the
hook.
Kind of cold. Stop it. He didn't have to do it. He could have done the shows from here.
Yeah,
you know where his job is. He was, I guess, in the closet because
Sean was in the closet. What?
I said that for years.
Yeah.
He was in that closet because he had golf to play afterwards. I'm not giving him that. He could have done the show from here in a chair.
Yeah. Never give him an out, Tyler, because he'll take it.
Yeah, and then,
never give him
and
out.
And he'll never thank you for that. He'll just bang on you later. He'll make fun of you later. Don't ever give him anything.
Well, here's what's going on with my combine where I will be actually doing real work coming up. Apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, the NFLPA has sent a letter to every agent weighing in on the current plans for the NFL scouting combine, voicing its hope for fair, quote-unquote, fair treatment. More than 150 prospects hoping to be picked in the draft may sit out the league's annual scouting combine as a group of agents are organizing a boycott of the event due to bubble restrictions. The league announced strict protocols in a memo Saturday that told prospects they will be restricted to secure combine venues and allowed to bring just one fully vaccinated person for medical support. Here's some of the other things. You can only stay in certain areas. You can't go out for food. Your food, you can have pre-prepared meals that are brought to you. Basically, the NFL is treating this like a bubble situation. So none of the players get sick before the draft or whatever. They don't want to be held liable or responsible. I think the problem you have here is, number one, I heard from Duke Mannyweather, who is a trainer of offensive linemen, and he's highly involved from the nutrition side, the overall health side, the training side, and Duke would probably be one of the – I mean, he's going to end up going to – Indianapolis, but he was really upset about, like, for example, you have to eat one of the pre-prepared meals food-wise of what the NFL determines you're going to have. And the problem you're having here is that here's the actual problem. The NBA All-Star Game just jumped off. I didn't see a whole lot of masks in the stands. No players were wearing masks that I saw. Or maybe, am I wrong? Or were they?
I don't remember seeing
any. I don't remember seeing players wear masks. At the All-Star Game, I didn't see any. The festivities, I mean. And the NBA at one point was extremely vigilant. And it's just not the case anymore. In the stands of when I go to Rocket, I went to Rocket Games. There was no, we didn't have to wear a mask. You didn't have to wear a mask at Texans game. Now, I am supposed to wear a mask to, like, I'm sure I will get the letter that says I have to wear a mask at indoor facilities because NFL Network and NFL, you know, NFL Network, who I'm with, is in California, and California has the strictest rules for mask stuff. I'm just telling you now, it is not going to sit well. We're already seeing this in Canada. We're seeing it in other parts of the country. I really don't care what your political beliefs are, what your beliefs of COVID restrictions, what your belief on mandates or anything like that. This is just the honest truth. We've gone to a point so far now where we have vaccines that are available for people who want them. People can wear masks anytime that they want. We have boosters. We have a certain amount of people that have hit a certain threshold in terms of vaccinations. We've gone through the roughest part of COVID. We had an Omicron spike. We know it's not as deadly and not as it doesn't make you as sick. That apparently has gone down. The hospitalization's way down. This is just the truth. The general public across the board, a majority of the public, do not want to continue to have the same COVID restrictions. And I don't blame them. I don't want to. I've gone through and did everything the way I was supposed to do it. And I've got three shots and all that stuff. But the fact is, the NFL is using basically restrictions that are in place that are very similar to the restrictions that they've called on for, you know, for the NFL season this year. But even they said, we're going to have to change this up because they're losing too many players that were asymptomatic. I understand what the NFL is doing. I am just saying that I think that the pushback on this is going to be very substantial. And because there are pro days still, you don't have to go to the combine. Now, it's a bit of a mistake because some players are screwed if they don't go to the combine. And here's why. The combine, every medical staff from all 32 teams show up and they run you through a series of tests. You go to a hospital and get all these different tests done. You go with individual teams who check out individual things. It is a massive level of discovery from a physical standpoint on every injury that you have had in your career and checking for any injuries you might have or heart conditions you may have or things like that. If you don't go to the combine, that's a big concern because if you don't get the medicals done, that is something that could drop a player. Now, the workout itself, we've seen players skip out on workouts for a long time. So what we could do is see players come in for medicals and then bail or just not even come in at all and potentially get their own medicals and see if teams will abide by that or maybe go get medicals when they're in the city of the teams that they go visit. But this is a really big deal because I could see 150 boycotting seems a little high, but I could see players, I could see a high number of teams boycotting. And what it basically boils down to is this is the last showdown, I think, of league versus COVID restriction because the players have seen relaxed restrictions across the board. Fans have almost no restrictions in many cities. How do you think this plays out once we get to Indianapolis at the combine? Can the NFL, do they look weak? I mean, they'll look weak if they go back, but can they back down a little bit to make it a little bit more free for the players to have some maneuverability?
Well, the first thing is I don't really understand what they're attempting to do only because for the most part, all these players are on college teams and the majority of those players have been vaccinated. It was just part of the deal so you could play. You know, conferences didn't really talk about it, but once you hit a certain threshold of on your team, you kind of stop testing. At least the SEC, that was their thing. I think other conferences followed it. So I think for the most part, all the players going into the combine would be vaccinated just because of their teams kind of got that done. So why don't you just have it like some people are tier one, some people are tier two, but don't limit the number of people. Like, if you are, I don't know, a trainer for this player.
They have it.
And you're vaccinated.
Only certain people can come to the facility and others not. Yeah.
Understood. But if you're a trainer or you are part of their team and you're vaccinated, you're free to move around.
It's a tough one for me because I work for the league and I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble.
No, understood.
The bottom line is, like, what the league wants to do is just not in step with what everyone else's expectations are regarding COVID.
And not in step with the way they handled their season.
Well, guys who weren't vaccinated had much stricter...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you get proof of vaccination for, let's say, the PR person, if they need to be there with the player, why should that PR person or whoever, say it's something important, the player deems important, whoever it might be, and they're vaccinated, what's the problem?
I don't see a problem. I thought that's what we were... Vaccinations and boosters. I have to have all of them to travel with NFL.
Yeah.
So I had to get my booster. I was kind of avoiding it because I get sick after all of them, and sure enough, I got sick after this one too. But not because I'm against them, but you know what? I do trust the science. But once you trust the science, I'm like, okay, well, if everyone is vaccinated and all that stuff, you know.
If you require proof of vaccination, fine. But much like a concert I went to, hey, if you're vaccinated, you could do what you like once you get in the building, obviously under the rules of the land and stuff. Why isn't that the same? If we require proof of vaccination and if some people don't want to do that, then different rules apply to them. But it seems like a simple thing. If you're vaccinated, we are going to allow you access, because if you were a simple fan in one of our stadiums, we would have done it. We don't even ask for vaccination there.
Yeah, that's they do in L.A.
Yeah, certainly. But
L.A.
is different. It's completely different.
That's what I'm saying.
But this isn't being held in L.A.
They're taking L.A. rules, it feels like, and putting it at the combine. And it's so here's another issue. I just talked about it. I didn't realize this is one of the issues. The NFLPA said, we have spoken to several agents to reinforce our longstanding opposition. The combination of the NFL's proposed bubble and the fact that we still have an antiquated system of every team doctor examining players and having them perform yet again needs serious modification or elimination. So that's what I just talked about, 32 team doctors. That seems outrageous, but here's an interesting thing. The Kansas City Chiefs, everyone else was talking about these blood clots and all this stuff for Trey Smith. The Kansas City Chiefs doctor said he did his own research and said, we believe Trey Smith is fine. Do not take him off the board. Do not drop him down. Draft Trey Smith as if he is perfectly healthy, because we believe he is. Other doctors had different opinions. That's the reason I don't think they'll eliminate the 32, is because 32 teams, you can have 8 teams who take a player off a board and 24 teams who have him on the board. So, but getting to that point where you decide whether he's on or off the board, I don't know how they're going to do it, because it seems wildly inefficient. It really does.
Yeah, but for Trey Smith, it was beneficial, right?
It was very beneficial to have, and there weren't a lot of, it was one team, I don't know how many teams, but one team I know of for sure that said, this doctor did a bunch of extra work and said, I believe that everyone else has this wrong. We think we've got it right on this one. So I don't know if that's ever going to change, but come combine time, I think you're going to see some players sitting out. I do think this is going to end up being a problem, because I don't think the NFL is going to back down. It's 9:31 here on the bench. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Yes, I pay for my Chevy Traverse. I pay for my wife's Chevy Traverse, and I gladly pay for them. You know why? Because they are great vehicles. And I got the brand new 2022 Chevy Traverse. Took me a couple months for one to become available, but that's the thing. If you shop with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they will tell you about all the vehicles they have in stock and the ones that are in transit, so that you can have a vehicle that's ready to go. I don't have a certain chip in my car that, you know, does other features in terms of like a seat warmer or something like that. And so, and I think there's one rear view camera that will be activated when I have this chip. They'll just install the chip here in a couple of months when they get those. But I know that my customer service was phenomenal. I'm in a very busy time for draft write-ups. They drove the vehicle to me, had me sign my papers here at the station. They took my car back as I did my lease trade-in. And I'm not the only one they're doing that for. They do it for anybody who has an issue. They go out of their way to make sure you're taken care of. Yeah, 0% financing for the Chevy Silverado, for the GMC Sierra 1500 pickup truck, the 2022s. Those are awesome, awesome offers. And it's an example of what you are going to find there. But the customer service is second to none, and the amount they're offering for trade-in values right now might mean that it makes sense to get your vehicle purchased, even if you have to wait a couple of months to get the vehicle in, because the trade-in value is bananas. Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. Chevy, find new roads. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here's something I have not gotten into. Well, let's get to Keith. That's something I haven't gotten into yet. Let's get Keith in here right now. What's going on, Keith? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Look, I just tuned into the show. I follow all of you guys on Twitter. I am at Keith Pena 2. Also on Twitter, I call myself the Hound of Music. I post songs with comments, and I post number of views, some analytics. I had seen a tweet from you this morning, Lance, about the Texans making a trade. Oh, we're going to make trades, right? And I sent a reply to that tweet. Now, as I said, look, I'm nobody on Twitter. I got less than 200 followers, and 4,147 people had seen my reply to you, which felt me compelled to call in the show, and I was getting some responses from people about it. And so I don't know if you saw it, but here's the point I was trying to make. I understand the Cal in the front office, these dudes got some issues. I get it, okay? But it's about the narrative of the players trying to blame them because they didn't win on the field is what I don't like. And let me give you a prime example of what I mean. Ed Reed recently came out and blasted the Texans front office for his time here. Well, guess what? Ed Reed sucked when he was here. He was washed up and he was way, way overpaid. Okay? And look, I get it, man, about, you know, to me, here's what happened. With the great Deshaun and the great DeAndre, they blew a 24-0 lead in a playoff game. And then after that, Watson, well, they wouldn't let him play, co-GM, and he says, I'm taking my sandbox and I'm going home. He just quit on the team, okay? And so, and guess what? It screwed the franchise, and that's where we are. So the point is this, yeah. It's on everybody, man. It ain't just on Cal in the front office. The players, they got to have accountability too. But the main point was, I don't like the narrative of players trying to blame the front office because they suck. That was the point I was trying to make. But thanks, guys. I'll listen to your commentary. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Did he air his Twitter grievances on the show? Because you didn't respond to him, did you?
I'm getting buried by it. All I did was take – so we had a guy named Mike Gennetti on from SpotTrack. He started SpotTrack, which has all the contracts. It's the spot you go to if you want to find out about contracts for a player. And many of you have Googled name of player contract, and you've gone to a link that is SpotTrack. And I asked him about the Texans and Watson and Laremy Tunsil if they got traded. And basically he had a comment that he said, basically at this point, it feels inevitable that Watson, Tunsil, and Brandon Cooks are all going to be traded and their contracts will be off the books. And I quoted it and put it on Twitter. I had no idea it was going to get this much play. It's like got 100 and some odd retweets and likes and comments and all this stuff. So I haven't, it's swarmed my timeline for the whole morning. So I haven't seen whatever you said about it. Trust me, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen your response. I have no idea. Now, in terms of, okay, number one, you don't take your sandbox and go home. That's an impossibility. You can take your ball and go home, or you play in a sandbox. That was a mixed metaphor. You got Bob McNair in a lot of trouble.
It's a very Texas-like.
So be careful. It is a ox in a ditch type of mixed metaphor. You also made a comment about Ed Reed. That was a completely different front office, so I don't know what they had to do with. This one had nothing to do with Ed Reed. Totally different front office.
He doesn't like players not taking accountability, no matter what
I don't like players not taking accountability either, but I'm not really sure what. I don't even know what point he was.
Because apparently, you know,
what point was he making exactly?
That it takes everyone to sink a ship, I think.
Yeah.
That's his point.
No, there's bad. there's bad players on the
roster.
Or
they play poorly and they cause things to happen.
D-Hop didn't play poorly. Deshaun Watson didn't play. Deshaun Watson did booty stuff, allegedly. He's gone. You got D-Hop.
Well, he was traded. He didn't ask for a trade, did he? He was traded.
D-Hop?
Did he ask for a trade?
Yeah, no.
No.
But there was...
There was some back and forth
both ways. He was gone.
He carries small dog and purses.
That's his thing. It was... There's enough problems to go around. I don't know about your Twitter fights. You just want to air your...
He was airing his Twitter grievances because I'm reading the tweet. It's the first one I see for whatever reason. And he talks about exactly what he said on the air. And then people on Twitter took issue with that. So he's having his back and forth. And then he brought it to the show.
Yeah. No. There's lots of... The Texans have been... Players have screwed up. The team has screwed up. Ownership, management, everything. Coaches across the board.
How's it feel to be a Texans fan, Lance? I don't know. I'm never on this side anymore. What's it like since... Everyone's still upset, or are they resigned to their fate?
Can I give you a word?
Are you guys resigned to your fate? Sure.
Hopeful.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Tyler, do you get
Being
the sense that people
fan
are hopeful?
Is hopeful. Were you here for John's diatribe on the greatness of Davis Mills last week?
I heard part of it.
You would be more than hopeful if you heard how good Davis Mills was. Even when I read statistics and went down games, John wasn't having that. The man of the people spoke, and he said, Davis Mills,
I know he referenced fine. A couple 300-yard games, and he loved Nick Cassero.
He also referenced Peyton Manning a few times.
I heard him. Peyton Manning struggled as a rookie. I did hear that. That is the go-to for anyone who's sinking in their argument.
It's true.
Hey,
you ever see Peyton Manning?
He threw the most picks in the league that year. Yeah, I know. Davis Mills is Peyton Manning. I get it. That was his way of saying Nick Cassero ain't that bad. That was all that was about. Hey, Nick Cassero found Davis Mills. Found him, my guess is. I guess that's his feather in the cap. Davis Mills wasn't as terrible in some games as...
Look, first of all, the draft may end up being a really good one for Nick Cassero. We'll see. I didn't love how he handled it, but in the meantime, you're better off having Davis Mills. I mean, in the short term, I didn't like it, but in the long term, if you want to make a pass judgment on it, I'd rather have Davis Mills on a third-round contract than probably most of these quarterbacks on a first-round contract, if you really want to know the truth.
Pro Bowl Mac Jones?
No. Not last year. I'm talking about coming up this year.
Oh, coming up.
Because that was my problem is, why are you drafting a third-rounder when you're going to have an early pick and you're probably going to draft a quarterback?
And it turns out the quarterbacks aren't that great.
Or worth the top three picks.
Yeah.
None of them. So, yeah. That was so Keith had that going on. Speaking of accountability, that's not really a segue. How about your guy Brian Flores got a job with the Steelers?
It's not my guy. He can't.
Used to be.
No, the story within the story is the fact that Minkah Fitzpatrick is like, God, I forced my way to get away from him. And now he's on his coaching staff.
Is that why Minkah left?
He and Minkah didn't see eye to eye. Apparently, he thought Minkah was something he wasn't. Because he didn't draft him. Minkah, I think, was he his first rookie? He might have been. No, Christian Wilkins was his first rookie. Minkah was the year before. And then, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick is supposed to be the
1 year and he wanted out.
The 1 year. Actually,
and he played under Nick Saban.
Yeah, it wasn't even 1 year. It was like one training camp under Brian Flores and he wanted out. So they traded him in the middle of Brian Flores' first year. So now Minkah gets to see him in the locker room every day.
Flores is running a lot of his own narratives right now. He's making
appearances.
He was on the I Am Athlete podcast, and people talked about his strained relationship with Tua. Here's what he said. This is an interesting topic because it wasn't strained. We had a good relationship. It was a player-coach relationship, and I think in a relationship like that, you know, the coach challenges the player, and oftentimes the player challenges the coach, and I think there was a great deal of respect between the two of us. So you hear these crazy kind of this narrative that's out there, but this is a young man who works, who developed and got better over 2 years. And, you know, I think he's got, you know, a bright future. I wish him all the best. So the world can think what it wants to think. I think ask Tua, you know, I'm here to say what I got to say. And you can ask him. So I think he'd say the same thing.
What's Tua going to say? He's not going to come out and say that Flores MF'd him.
What have you heard?
I've heard it from you.
No, you know what I've heard.
I know what you've heard.
What did Dolphins fans think? What did Omar Kelly, who is a beat writer, he is not on the Brian Flores train. He's gotten inside information.
He said that Brian Flores disrespected him. They're not he at one point said Brian Flores talked to him like no one has ever talked to him before, I guess in a professional realm. So he has no love lost, but he was on that podcast, so he interviewed him. He says what he has said is Brian Flores is a man of integrity, even if he isn't all that nice to people.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. You can be.
Yeah, so
you can be both.
So I don't believe from the Dolphin fan perspective, there appeared to be some type of strife between him and Tua. And people
there
who,
was 100%.
And people would know some things have said that as well.
There was 100%. And he was Brian Flores wanted the Deshaun Watson trade in the worst way. So much so that he wanted to get the deal done, even if there were outstanding lawsuits, get it done and figure it out later. And the owner just said, no, we're not doing that. That's too dangerous. We can't do that. So I don't know. Interesting. There was a thought that he'd never get another job, but Mike Tomlin brought him on as a defensive assistant and linebacker coach and good coach. I mean, I think he's on a good staff, so we'll see what happens, what comes from that. But a lot of people thought he was done. I think the NFL is secretly very happy he got hired somewhere.
I'm sure they are. But the lawsuit continues. His lawyers released a statement. Yeah, we're still suing him.
What if they get rid of him? They catch a lawsuit, the Steelers. After 1 year, they're like, ooh.
Our linebackers really took a step down.
Ooh, we're going to have to get rid of him.
Take a step back.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's
now you got a lawsuit.
That is a fear, isn't it?
Maybe a little bit. All right, coming up, we got our last segment. It's not news of the weird. I don't have time to look up what horrible things are happening in the world and then ask Dell, do you want that horrible thing to happen to you?
And then when I ask questions about the story, you would say, oh, I only read the headline.
Yeah, no, I'm like, hold on, what do you mean by that?
Hold on.
I don't know. That's just what it says in the headline. A Michigan man is growing cauliflower out of his ear. Would you want cauliflower grown out of your ear? All right, we got to break it right now. 9:48, last segment coming up next.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
OnlyFans model revealed that fan offered her $20,000 to give them her teeth. Dell, would you give somebody your teeth for $20,000?
Wait, Lance, explain something. What else is in that story?
I don't know. Somebody wanted her to give her their teeth for $20,000.
No, I would not give my teeth.
A Florida mom brings a gun to an elementary school parent-teacher conference. Brentwood, Florida, a Florida mom faces a number of charges after police say she brought a gun. Did your mom ever bring a gun to a parent-teacher conference?
No, but do we know why she brought the gun?
She was mad. A Louisiana man tells police he was sleepwalking during a burglary. Have you ever sleepwalked during a burglary?
No, Lance. Did what happened after the burglary?
He's probably arrested. A Finland skier suffers frozen penis in Olympics mass start race. Dell, does that sound like something you would want to have happen to your junk at an Olympic race?
Did you just ask me if I wanted my penis to be frozen?
Yes.
Why would I want that? Did he finish the race, John? I mean, Lance?
Doesn't say.
So you didn't read the story? You just saw a headline?
The new Twizzlers bunnies will hop into your Easter basket with cherry flavor.
Twizzlers bunnies?
Do you want Twizzlers to be in cherry flavor?
No, I don't really like Twizzlers, Lance. Do you like Twizzlers?
Cryptocurrency. Gene Simmons says he will accept cryptocurrency to sell his Las Vegas mansion. Dell, would you buy somebody from Kiss's mansion with cryptocurrency?
I don't really understand cryptocurrency. I mean, Lance, does the story say how much that mansion will cost?
I'm sure millions.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. What else? Soccer fan spends entire year getting beloved team shirt tattooed on his torso. Would you have Wigan, or what is your school?
Fulham.
What? Is your, what?
Fulham.
Yeah. Would you have a Fulham tattoo jersey tattooed on your body, Dell?
I wouldn't. What's the team name for this guy? He seems really passionate.
Nobody knows at this point.
No, it's in the story. What is
nobody
it?
Nobody knows at this point, and nobody cares. That's going to do it. I've got to golf today and then go play poker. I'll be wearing $600 tennis shoes while I do it. Dell's going to be lazy.
Wait,
Lance is going to be lazy.
I still have a six-hour shift to do on the national side.
You'll be golfing.
No, I won't, actually. Beer. You're right, lazy. I won't be.
Tyler's going to be lazy, and I'll be the only one working.
Aren't you working less hours than everyone here?
I'm working. Don't worry about me, Dell.
I'm working.
Just be ready.
Just be ready, Dell. Be ready.
Sometimes it's fun to be John. Like, I wish I could be in real life.
I wish I was in Prague.
I wish my wife was president of a major network. Because I would be doing the same things John would be doing.
Both of you are lazy.
Only I would be... The FU money would come a lot stronger for me. I'd just be like, I'll live a much more sedated lifestyle. And I'd leave. I'd just leave in the middle of the show.
You'd just be out.
Yeah.
Don't cross them or leave. We have to walk on eggshells around you because the next thing we know, you'd be done.
That's how we are with John. Easy, John. Easy.
You go, easy, easy.
That's going to do it. We love John.
No, we don't. Well, don't speak for me.
No, I'm sorry. My bad. I'll see you again on Thursday. Tomorrow, Eric Layton is going to join me the final 2 hours. And I'll be using your phone calls and your tweets.
Info line?
It'll be an info line tomorrow. 100% info line is going to jump off tomorrow with me and Eric Layton. So make sure you check it out then. Thank you to Mike Jannetty from Spot Track for coming on the show. Tomorrow, Keith Law at 9:30 to look at the Astros' top 20 minor league prospects, too. That'll be a good one for the Houston Astros fans out there. Coming up next, we've got Vanessa and Gallant.
What's the name of that show?
It's called the Vanessa and Gallant Radio Show.
There's no acronym for it?
Nope. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.